You've tuned in to Naturopathy Earth Radio in occult health news, where you get the latest on medical cover-ups, government malfeasance, toxins being put in our food and home, as well as sound, clean eating principles. We are here to cast a light on what the big sick care industry and its government shills don't want you to know. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of shackles of Big Food and start your journey now on a long, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathy Earth. Here's your host, A. Gregory Luna.
Hey everybody, this is A. Gregory Luna. Of course, you can call me Gregory. And welcome back to another episode of Naturopathy Earth Radio and Occult Health News. I hope you're doing well today. Before we begin talking about 12 paleo healthy desserts that you can indulge in, or as my grammarian Nazi middle school priest would have said, in which you can indulge, because we don't end sentences and prepositions. First, the website, of course, is Naturopathic Earth. Please peruse the site. Click on all the things you can click on. Check out the recipes. Check out the articles. Check out the Twitter feed. Check out my Instagram feed. Download all the freebies and click away. It's a very visually pretty site. Of course, I'm a paleo-inspired health coach. If you need some assistance in losing weight, please contact me. Most of you guys know that I've lost over 100 pounds and kept it off for 27 years, as chronicled in the Confessions of an Obese Child series. Speaking of, my memoirs, Confession of Obese Child, is available on Amazon Kindle and Barnes & Noble Nook. Please buy it for $2.99. And please post a review. And please patronize the website and the podcasts through Patreon. There is a link on the episode notes of this episode and also on the homepage where you can donate $1 to $5 to $20 a month to help support the cause of exposing things that need to be exposed. And there are so many things. Before I begin, I have something to confess. I am a little livid, apoplectic, about to have a stroke. I found out that my ex-wife just recently vaccinated my kids without my consent. Now, this is upsetting to me because she knows since we were married how I feel about vaccinations. And the fact that she went behind my back is upsetting to me because in the custody decree, it says that medical procedures have to be consulted and require consent of both parties. My 7-year-old Xavier told me when I saw him yesterday, I'm recording this on Friday the 17th, that he had the vaccinations 4 days ago. And it bothers me. It bothers me greatly. And there's two reasons. Because, of course, I don't want my kids vaccinated. Now, I think most of you who listen to this podcast are probably anti-vaxxers. But if you're not, it might be time to finally do the episode on vaccinations, straight out vaccinations. Now, we do have the ones on Gardasil and why you shouldn't get the annual flu shot. But we've never done just a standalone vaccination episode. I think one of the reasons I'm a little loath to do that is because the district in which and where I teach is pro flu vaccines, and I'm worried that perhaps I could get in a little trouble because I am going against the district policy, right? I'm not an automaton. And secondly, really, there is no secondly. I think that's the only reason I wouldn't want to do a vaccination episode, but I think it's due time. So this bothered me quite a bit because I live in the state of Texas, and in the state of Texas, it's very easy to get the affidavit for conscientious refusal of vaccinations. It takes 2 seconds to fill out the form. My ex-wife and I have both filled out the form before, and online, it takes 2 minutes, and then you get the affidavits in the mail in like 2 days, and then you just show it to every school district or any daycare, and they have to abide by it. So one of the reasons I'm upset is because, of course, I didn't want them to get vaccinated. Secondly, I couldn't prepare them. If your kids are going to get vaccinated, there are prophylactic things that you can do ahead of time and after to make sure that the adjuvants in which are now coursing through their blood and brain don't have as much of an insidious effect. And I did not have that ability to buffer and strengthen their immune system before these adjuvants were put in. And so now, you know, I got to hope that I don't have a neurological or autoimmune response like a lot of people who have it. And a lot of people get vaccines. And a lot of people are like, oh, my kids were vaccinated. They didn't have a side effect. The thing is, it's like, you don't know. you don't know. You might be lucky and they might not, or they might pop up with rheumatoid arthritis later on, or Crohn's disease, or some neurological problem. So this is not the time to replace, because today we're going to talk about the sweetness of desserts. But I just wanted to express that. And since I have a podcast, I can express this. And I am irate. All right, let's talk about desserts. Okay, so what was the inspiration for this episode? I think the main inspiration is we all love desserts, right? We all love the sweetness of desserts. And I think a lot of people are in a quandary at the middle of the night or after a meal as to what would be considered a good and healthy dessert. Now, we know, going back to that episode I did on Halo Top ice cream about 10 episodes ago, what is the definition of healthy? Well, you know, it's tomato, tomato. So I'm going to give a little criteria here before we knock out these 12. The main criteria that, and you're going to notice there's a reoccurring theme in these desserts. But the main criteria is that the dessert, in order to be classified on this list, needs to be nutrient dense. Needs to be nutrient dense. So you're getting some nutrition from it. The other thing is, I'm not going to include any smoothies, because smoothies can be classified as a dessert, or shakes. Not going to classify those. They're not going to be included in this list. I'm also not going to include any yogurt bowls. None on this list either. And no juices as well. So we're going to stick to what would be deemed classified as purely desserts. And you'll notice that most of these desserts are not going to have flour. And they're not, or I should say wheat-based flour. And they're not going to have dairy, the large majority of them. So let's get to it. Let's find out, per Gregory, what are some 12 healthy desserts in which you could indulge after dinner. All right, number one are going to be dark chocolate almond butter peanut butter cups. Dark chocolate almond butter peanut butter cups. These are very easy to make. They are super nutrient dense because we know about the phytonutrients that are found in the DC and in almond butter in particular. Now, you can use peanut butter or cashew butter, but I just choose almond butter because it is the most, arguably the most nutrient dense yet somewhat affordable of the nut butters. So the benefit of dark chocolate almond butter peanut butter cups is that they're very easy to make, they're quick, and they have no preservatives because you're making them with essentially two ingredients. Now, with these recipes, I'm not really going to go and describe how you make them, but this one's very easy and quick. Actually, I just made some right now. So just go buy some baker's chocolate. Now, it's up to you what kind of sweetness you want. You can use 60%, which is kind of the lowest base dark chocolate chips, or you can buy the higher percentage. You're going to melt them down on low heat. Make sure you use a metal spoon, because wooden spoons retain moisture and it's going to make the chocolate clumpy. And so you use very low heat. You melt down the chocolate chips or the bar, and then you're going to pour them into little like cupcake molds, but the real small ones, like the peanut butter cup size. You're going to pour them in there, let them cool in the fridge 30 minutes or whatever. Then get your almond butter, cashew butter, peanut butter, and just get a knife and get a dollop of it. And once the bottom layer of the peanut butter cup has cooled down, you're just going to put a dollop of almond butter in there. And then afterwards, you're going to melt more of the dark chocolate chips or the bar, and you're just going to pour it over the top of each of those, tap it to kind of even it out, and put it in the refrigerator for 30, 40 minutes, and you're good. Now, those dark chocolate almond butter cups are going to be very fat dense, right? Because we know that a serving of dark chocolate, which is typically 2/3 of a bar, is about 23 grams of fat. And we know that peanut butter, almond butter is about 15 grams per serving. So it's very fat dense. Now, don't let that dissuade you from enjoying it, because we know monounsaturated fats, particularly, but even certain types of saturated fats are very good for us, and we need to eat them. Go back to that episode I did on inflammatory oils, and actually go back to all the clean eating episodes because I talk about the fat, the issue, the controversy with fat. So we want to stay away from trans fats, but this is a very clean, very tasty dessert in which you can indulge. All right, the second dessert in which you can indulge is going to be simply berries with whipped cream. Berries with whipped cream. We know that berries, in particular the blackberries, raspberries, blueberries, but all the berries are very high on the ORAC scale, which is essentially a scale that fights inflammation and cancer. We know that it's pretty low on the glycemic index, which is an indication of how much sugar and how rapidly sugar is absorbed. Particularly, this is important to diabetics. And the berries are super nutrient dense. So they are really arguably the best fruit to eat because they're low in sugar but high in nutrition. Now, you can eat berries alone. You don't need the whipped cream, but some people like the whipped cream. And as I mentioned, we're going to try to avoid dairy because of its inflammatory effects and because of the lactose intolerance people. So you can make the whipped cream with coconut milk, honey, and vanilla extract, and you can whip all that up. There's different recipes that you can certainly find online for that to make it non-dairy. Of course, you can just buy typical whipped cream, but if you are somebody who likes to cook, try to make your own homemade whipped cream. Any berries with whipped cream. All right, the third dessert in which you can indulge in are going to be paleo banana splits. Paleo banana splits. So what's a paleo banana split going to look like? Well, no ice cream and no whipped cream. Now, of course, you can buy non-dairy ice cream. We have coconut-based ice cream, and we have almond-based ice cream. They're extremely pricey, but hey, if you want to use that, or you can use Halo Top. Of course, you can modify all these recipes to the way you want, but I'm just going to do the bare-bones kind of description. So on a paleo banana split, what you can do is buy a pretty unripened banana, because we know unripened bananas are a great source of prebiotics. If you don't know what prebiotics are, go back to episode 2, which talks about prebiotics, or go back to that episode in symbiotics, which is episode probably in the 30s. So get a relatively unripened banana, because it's also has less sugar. And then at that point, you can put some crunchy stuff on it. You can do some cocoa nibs. You can melt some dark chocolate, drizzle some dark chocolate over it. You can put some pumpkin seeds. You can put some cinnamon. You can put some nuts, and you can crunchify it. So that's essentially what a paleo banana split would look like. And of course, if you want, you can augment that with some ice cream or some whipped cream that we had just mentioned, but try to stay away from the dairy-based ones. The fourth dessert in which you can indulge are going to be avocado chocolate mousses. And you've probably heard of these. These are pretty, you know, relatively popular in the paleo world. And most of these are very easy to make. You can just make them using avocados. We know the superfood baseness of avocados. We should try to incorporate those into our day all the time, either in the form of guacamole, or even avocado toast, or in the desserts. So the avocado not only gives you that superfood quality, but it also makes your chocolate mousse kind of lathery and thick and gives it some texture. So most ingredients that you're going to see with the avocado chocolate mousse, of course, are going to be using avocado, and they're going to use cocoa powder. But real good ones, in my opinion, are going to use dates. And you're going to see dates, like medjool dates, for example. You're going to see dates in a lot of these recipes because dates are a natural sweetener and dates bring you the added fiber. So if you look at an avocado chocolate mousse that's got dates, avocado, and dark chocolate or some form of cacao, I mean, you're looking at a lot of fiber. And when we think of desserts, we think of most desserts are high sugar, low nutrition, right? Like the typical cake-based desserts. But an avocado chocolate mousse is going to be super nutrient dense just because of those three ingredients. And then you can spice it up with maple syrup, if you want to put some cinnamon or whatever, or some nuts to garnish it, whatever, whipped cream. Then that can make it even better. But just the dates and the avocado and the cacao make it insanely nutrient dense. Okay, number five, the fifth dessert in which you can indulge in are going to be simply baklava. Baklava or any baklava-based dessert. As most of you know, Middle Eastern food is probably my favorite cuisine, and baklava is very popular in the Near and Middle East. And baklava is very easy to make at home. It's essentially phyllo dough, which is the pastry kind of dough, and nuts, typically pistachios, crushed pistachios. Sometimes it's crushed almonds or walnuts, and honey. And it's really easy. So you just put like phyllo dough on the bottom, and then you sprinkle some nuts, honey, and then just do it again. Rinse, lather, repeat. The phyllo dough, the nuts, the honey, the phyllo dough, the nuts, the honey. You can put some nutmeg on the top, put it in the oven, boom. It is good. Now, it does have phyllo dough, so it has flour in it, and this might be the only one that has traditional flour in it. But the benefit, again, is if you look at the criteria, is nutrient dense. So you're looking at a nut-based dessert with a drizzle of honey, and we know honey has a lot of minerals and vitamins that are in there, a lot of macronutrients that are good for you. If you're not familiar with that, go to our non-sugar sweetener review episode or the article that we have on the podcast, and you'll see that honey is one of the most nutrient-dense sweeteners around. So try baklava. It's great, and it's easy to make. All right, the sixth dessert in which you can indulge is going to be chocolate cauliflower ice cream. Chocolate cauliflower ice cream. Now, I know many of you are into the cauliflower kind of fad that's been sweeping the country the last few years. But look, cauliflower can be used in a lot of ways. I think some of you are familiar with cauliflower rice, cauliflower crust on pizzas. But you can use cauliflower to make ice cream. And there are numerous recipes out there in which you do not need dairy to make the ice cream. A lot of them just require the cauliflower, some cashews, coconut milk, cocoa nibs, maple syrup, coconut oil, vanilla extract, and so forth. So it's really, you know, it's kind of a coconut milk based ice cream. And then because you can make your own homemade ice cream, a lot of you have those slow churning machines at your house to make dairy based homemade ice cream. So why can't you use coconut milk to make it? And in my honest opinion, if you're looking at the non-dairy milks, I'd like coconut milk. If you go to that review of the non-dairy milks that I've done, and not a big spoiler alert here, but coconut milk is my favorite, is my most recommended one. But the cauliflower, you can put that in there. You can certainly make a coconut milk-based ice cream without it. But again, we're looking at ways to put in some nutrition. So a chocolate cauliflower ice cream for those of you who have a hanker for some ice cream. Okay, the seventh dessert in which you can indulge in is a banana apple walnut bread. I thought it'd be good to include a bread-based one here, like a banana nut bread or, you know, the loaves. And the great thing about this one, of course, is that we're not going to be using typical flour. We are going to be using a non-wheat-based flour for the recipe. And there, of course, there's different ones you can use. I do have a review of non-wheat flour, which is the best. What are the pros and cons? But for most of these recipes, you can typically use coconut flour. You can use a lot of them. I personally like coconut flour. And then you're going to have some eggs. You're going to use some honey. You're going to have some chia seeds. Of course, since it's apple-based, you're going to have some apples in there to get some added nutrition and some fiber. And then you're going to have some walnuts or any type of nuts, bring in more fat and more fiber and more nutrition. And then the bananas you want to use, of course. I mean, typically on banana nut bread, you use the very ripened banana nut bread to the point where it's like black, right? And that's fine in this recipe because, I mean, you're going to be using nutmeg and cloves and cinnamon, vanilla, and chia seeds and all these other things that are so good for you. So if you're looking for a bread, you can do a chocolate bread if you want, a chocolate walnut bread. I mean, there's just, you know, a plethora of different recipes that you can use for this. But I just chose a banana apple walnut one. But just know you can the key ingredients, you're going to be using a non wheat flour alternative to avoid not just the gluten, but really most typical flour is very low in nutrition. It's very low in nutrition. There's not much in there because we've taken all essentially the good stuff out. We've processed it out. And so with, for example, the coconut flour, it's going to be a little more nutrient dense. And that's why I'm opting for that. Aside from the inflammatory effects of gluten and gluten sensitivity issues that many people have. Okay, the eighth dessert in which you can indulge in is going to be granola bars. And in this particular case, it's going to be a dark chocolate oatmeal almond bar. And we can use this as a dessert, or of course you can make them and then take it to work or have your kids take it to school, like a typical granola bar, right? We know what the granola bars are like. The beauty of making it at home, of course, is that you can control the ingredients. So the my favorite ones, of course, are going to be the ones where you can really throw in the nutrient-dense stuff. So a good recipe is going to have oats, and then you can mix in the nuts and the dark chocolate chips or cocoa nibs, because cocoa nibs are going to have less sugar if you can tolerate taste for cocoa nibs. Then you do some honey, some vanilla extract, some chia seeds, some pumpkin seeds. Pumpkin seeds are so nutrient-dense. Almond butter, any type of nut butter. You can throw in some coconut shavings if you want to put those in there. And you throw all those in there and you can make really good and really easy, really, really easy almond bars, coconut bars, granola bars, whatever you want to call it. And they're going to be extremely nutrient dense. And again, they're lacking the flour. Okay, the ninth dessert in which you can indulge in is going to be making your own homemade Nutella, your homemade Nutella. Now, Nutella, arguably, or as Nestle will tell you, is a hazelnut-based spread. If you look at conventional Nutella, you'll see that chocolate or whatever they're using, processed alkali cocoa, is typically the third ingredient. And hazelnut's the fourth ingredient. What's the first ingredient? Of course, sugar. And the second ingredient, vegetable oil, industrial grade vegetable. Going back to that episode on the three inflammatory ingredients you find in 90% of all processed food, it's always going to be sugar, industrial grade vegetable oil, and flour. So make your own Nutella, because Nutella, you know, is awesome, right? We all love the way it tastes. It's just incredibly tasty. But you can make your own. And you're like, well, Gregory, how do you make your own? It's not really that hard. There's different recipes out there, but most of them are going to, of course, use dark chocolate. They're going to use some almonds, some nuts, right? So the hazelnuts. You're going to use vanilla, vanilla extract, coconut oil, cocoa nibs, cinnamon. Notice how you're seeing a reoccurring kind of theme here of the same nutrient dense, very high in macronutrients and micronutrients ingredients. And then you can either use heavy whipping cream, or if you don't want to use something dairy-based, you can use coconut or hemp milk, and then you can whip all that up. And if you want, you can put a little stevia or xylitol in it. And you can make arguably one that looks and tastes like the Nutella that you guys all love. And at that point, you can put it on top of whatever you want to put it on top of, and not just eat it as a dessert, but you could also eat it for breakfast if you are going to eat breakfast, which of course in the previous episode, I don't recommend you do, but you could eat it for your dessert after you eat your eggs for lunch. Okay, the 10th dessert in which you can indulge will be something that's not chocolate-based for once. Mango. You can just do mango soft serve, or you can do any kind of fruit-based soft serve, kind of like a sherbet-y kind of dessert if you're wanting to kind of go down that road. What you can do is just get frozen mango cubes and, of course, the ubiquitous coconut milk, the ubiquitous cinnamon, the ubiquitous honey. And notice that these are all paleo, right? We're choosing ingredients that are not processed or minimally processed, like in the example of 80% dark chocolate. So you can just put the mango cubes in a food processor and whip it up and add the coconut milk and all the other stuff and freeze it, and it comes out really good. So if you want something a little more tropical, go down that road. The 11th dessert in which you can indulge is going to be a pudding, another pudding kind of based dessert, but we're not going to go with the chocolate side. We're going to go in more with the lighter fruity side. So I chose raspberry banana kind of pudding. And what you can do here, again, it's good. You're going to be using the coconut milk, and then you're going to be throwing in raspberries, and again, any fruit you want, but we know the specialness of the berries. And then you can throw in some bananas if you want. And you're just going to whip them all in, blend them all up, cool them down, and then garnish them with chia seeds, with cinnamon, with mint leaves, or whatever else you want. So this is a nice kind of lighter version of the avocado chocolate one that we talked about earlier. And of course, you could use avocado in this one too, but I wanted to offer you a pudding that's sweet that doesn't have avocado or cacao in it. The 12th dessert in which you can indulge is a little of a cheat. And I guess the biggest cheat I could say for the last one is don't eat dessert, but we'll cover that later. But this is kind of a cheat, is don't eat dessert and chew xylitol-based gum. Chew xylitol-based gum. Now, if you haven't listened to the episode about the 11 reasons why you should not be chewing conventional gum, most conventional gum has aspartame and now acesulfam potassium, and some of them, which are two artificial sweeteners, and now some of them do put xylitol. Now, what you want essentially is organic gum, and you can find this at Whole Paycheck or any of your kind of natural stores. You can buy them online at Amazon. And xylitol-based gum only has xylitol as its sweetener. And the studies have shown that xylitol is one of the few sweeteners that actually improves oral health. The benefit of gum in general, as we know, is that it stimulates salivary production, which cleans the mouth. So either way, if you're going to eat a regular meal, or even after you eat whatever dessert that I've mentioned, or a typical conventional cake-based dessert, chew gum, but chew the gum that is xylitol-based and does not have a lot of the bad ingredients, including food dyes, that you see in the conventional gum. So go down that road. Okay, so those are 11.5 dessert choices from which you can indulge. Now, the great thing about those desserts, and by no means is that list exhaustive, I'm sure many of you have come up with your own paleo, nutrient dense, low in sugar, low in wheat flour desserts. But I just wanted to offer kind of a gamut, a smorgasbord of different types of desserts from which you can choose. The benefit of these 11 recipes is you can find all of them on my website. These are all recipes that I created and have put on my website. So if you go to Naturopathic Earth and you see the tabs on the left that says articles, and you click on articles, you'll see a pull down appear, and just click on recipes and you can find all these recipes there, including many other recipes that are smoothie-based, yogurt bowl-based, muffin-based, and then I have what I guess you could say would be entrees or appetizer recipes as well. So the key takeaway on dessert is, look, it's okay to splurge once in a while and get tiramisu, for example, or to eat cheesecake. There's a lot of really good cheesecake recipes out there that are paleo-inspired, and probably it's a little remiss of me not to have included one in this episode. But either way, it's okay to indulge on occasion and just eat a cake, chocolate cake, right? It's 80-20. It's okay to eat cake once in a while, just like it's okay to eat donuts or get a Dairy Queen Blizzard. It's just that we don't want that to make that a daily reoccurrence. We want it to be a special occasion kind of thing, like your kid's birthday or your birthday. But if you're looking for daily desserts and you don't want to eat dark chocolate just by itself at night because you're worried about the caffeine in there, then try these recipes. Because as I mentioned, all these recipes are nutrient dense, typically high in fat, high in fiber, and they will fill you up, really to the point where you could just skip dinner, just skip the entree, and just go straight to these desserts because they are teeming with nutrition. All right, guys, that's all I have to say. Please hit the subscribe button on your phone right now to subscribe to MP Radio and Occult Health News. And as always, go listen to Confessions of an Obese Child and give Kate's Apothecary a listen too. Some of you who I'm sure are into essential oils and aromatherapy would enjoy her episodes. Her episodes, albeit she hasn't done one now, I think in a year, her episodes are most popular in terms of downloads. She's got a great mellifluous voice and a great presentation. So if any of you have not listened to Kate's podcast, please go listen to it. Just look up Kate's Essential Oil Apothecary on iTunes or Stitcher or SoundCloud, or go to my website and you'll find them there. Until next time, guys, take care and God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to NPE Radio and Occult Health News. Visit our website at naturopathicearth.com. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Occult Health News and at our Facebook page at Naturopathy Earth. Please consider a donation at patreon.com/naturopathicearth. Consider subscribing to our podcast. And as always, please post an honest review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to this. And remember the core belief at NPE. Let food be thy medicine. Let nature be thy healer. Until next time.